produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, from all around the world. I greet you in the name which is above all names, the name which is high, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And welcome to Money Matters with Sanil Swamaphosa. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are excited to have you listening to the program, and we pray that at the end of the program, you would have learned, you would have grasped a few things that will assist us in our day-to-day lives. So it is a beautiful day. God is still God, and we are still saved under the grace of God. So today we're specifically going to talk about debt, which is borrowing. The reason why that we want to look into debt, which is borrowing, when you look at the stats around the world, it will tell you that due to the coronavirus pandemic, more than 68% of people around the world have had their income compromised. The stats will also tell you that there is a rise in debt-to-income ratio, which is currently sitting at 113%, which is quite high. It is quite high, and the more that we speak about it and we educate people when it comes to debt, so that when people borrow money, they better understand how the structures of borrowing money work, so that they can borrow money to their advantage. One thing that we must understand about debt is that debt is not a lifetime sentence, and you are not alone when it comes to debt. One thing about debt is that if it is not properly understood and dealt with, it does affect our mental health, and hence we find so many people around the world, their mental health are compromised. They end up being depressed because they feel as if there is this burden on them that they can no longer live with. So it is important for us to actually understand how debt is constructed out, how it actually works, so that we better use it to our advantage. Now, with most consumers, when you look at the debt levels, they are increasing. They are increasing quite a lot, and it indicates that people are relying more on debt to actually survive. This is because nominal incomes have been flat due to the coronavirus in pandemic. So in real terms, people have less income, as inflation over the same period has been around 20% cumulatively. So it is increasing. And one thing that we also need to understand is that when it comes to debt, we do not need to be comfortable in debt. We do not need to be over-reliant on debt, but we need to understand how debt actually works, so that we can always challenge ourselves to get out of debt. But one of the reasons that people take certain debt is also the lack of understanding. Now let's look at debt. What is debt? Debt basically is borrowing. When you walk into a financial institution and you actually borrow, you borrow money because you want to purchase a certain financial product. And when you go in and you borrow that money, you need to understand that there's two types of debt. That what you call secured debt and unsecured debt. Basically put, secured debt is debt that actually, when the financial institutions look at it, it is debt that has sort of a security. Let's say you're going to purchase a car and you have a house in place. They're going to look at those facts that this type of an asset, you can actually take out insurance in case that you are no longer able to pay it off. So it's secured debt because in a case that you are unable to pay it off, the financial institution can be able to get a certain amount of money back, as opposed to unsecured debt. Now, this is where we're seeing the stats rising when it comes to unsecured debt. This is more of your unstructured kind of debt. For an example, your credit cards, your bank overdrafts, your clothing accounts, your store accounts. This is what you call unsecured debt. Unsecured debt has the highest interest rate that you can find when it comes to debt. The reason why is because there is no security when it comes to unsecured debt. If you end up not paying that amount of money on the unsecured debt to the financial institution, there is no way that they're going to recoup that amount of money. So hence you find that the interest rate on it is so high. As a result of the lack of growth in people's incomes, in their net incomes, we are seeing a rise in customers actually finding themselves in a corner and have to actually borrow heavily, especially using these unsecured debts to make up for the day-to-day shortfall. And when we look at also the stats, we are seeing an increase in unsecured debt. It has increased actually by 18% all over the world. In the United Kingdom, because we are seeing one of the worst economic slumps in Europe, where we've seen the economy has contracted by over 20.4%. In the US economy, it has also contracted by 9.5% for the same period. 57% of people are earning less than what they were earning, with 40% of those currently employed only having enough funds to survive 1 month. Wow, shocking. Shocking information. Yes, it is quite shocking. It is quite sad and a very alarming consequence of the financial pressures that we are seeing most households under around the world is that we are seeing that more than 50% of households are currently having to actually go into dip into their savings just to make ends meet. 37% have fallen behind on their payments, household bills, and 23% have actually cashed in a savings or investment policy. Quite sad, quite shocking, but let us take a step back and let us breathe and let's speak about what is it that can better assist us to plan our finances better during this pandemic. Yes, our incomes have been compromised, but at the end of the day, we need to find ourselves a way out. How are we actually going to handle this? And one thing which is not advisable is actually taking on more debt than you can actually pay off. At the end of the day, you need to pay off this debt. So, because you are listening to Money Matters with Sanil Siwemaphosa, let us talk. Let's talk about what are those key financial education tips that can assist us to get through this pandemic so that we do not rely on debt that at the end of the day we cannot actually pay off. Now, let's take it step by step. Let's start with step number one. We must always remember that during times like these, knowledge plays a critical role in the financial decisions that we make. We need to equip ourselves with financial understanding to ensure that we also make the right financial decisions. Now, this is very important. When you understand how finance basically works, then you'll better make decisions that will assist you. Point number two. We need to look at your financials and particularly your expenses really carefully and plan properly for the future. Let us remember that there is a future that we need to plan for. There is a future tomorrow that we still need to actually service this type of debts that we are taking on due to the pressure that we are under. Now let's go to step number three. We need to consider, people need to start considering having an additional income stream. We need to go away with this kind of mentality that we depend on one income stream. It is important that we start having multiple income streams, especially in African countries where most people are dependent on a single income stream. So we need something that's going to supplement our income. We will also talk about multiple income streams in the coming weeks. I think it's a topic that we must actually go into on its own. It's a topic that we need to talk about, educate each other, give each other tips. How do we actually have additional income streams? It is very important. It is very, very important that you are not over dependent on one income stream. That is what we are seeing with most people, that they are over dependent on debt because they are over reliant on one income stream. Now, this takes me to point number four. We need to find ways to downsize to, or downscale rather, our lifestyle to free up additional cash. Believe it or not, some of us, our additional income streams are actually found in our bank accounts. It's just that we do not realize it because of the type of lifestyles that we live. It is time that we actually sit down and we downgrade to say, what is it that we actually need? Do you actually need that gym membership? Why don't you rather jog? Why don't you actually look up, you know, on our phone, cell phones, we have apps that we can exercise absolutely for free. So there are those additional income streams that we can actually find if we sit down and we downscale certain aspects of our lifestyle. Now let's take it to point number 5, which is we should not borrow for the future, and don't be tempted to draw from your retirement savings. Now, retirement savings, when you look at the stats worldwide, it will tell you that approximately more than 23 million people will be retrenched due to this coronavirus pandemic. So it's something that we also need to speak to, retirement savings. It's a topic on its own that we will deliberate in the coming weeks. If you are receiving your retirement, whether it's retrenchments, your packages, what is it that you should actually do to better implement these kind of retirement savings? Now, let's take it to point number 6. If you have already consolidated your debts to ease your pressure, avoid further credit. Very important, people of God, let us avoid taking additional credit. We are seeing more and more people paying off their debts, but actually going back after a few weeks and taking on additional credit that they do not need. We need to avoid, we need to start adapting a lifestyle where we are debt free. Point number 7, avoid taking loans to buy things in bulk. Now, this is something that we are seeing. People actually use their credit cards to buy things on sale or things in bulk. Now, when you look at the financial aspects or background behind it, it does not make financial sense at all. When you look at the interest rate that they're going to charge you on this credit card that you've used to buy something which is maybe 10% less, but the interest rate on your credit card is sitting at around about 25%. So let us gain financial understanding to say, when you take out unsecured debt to purchase something on sale, it should make financial sense. At the end of the day, you're actually going to pay out more interest to service something that you felt was on sale and you went in and purchased it on credit. So let us be mindful of those aspects, which takes me to point number 8, is that we need to be very responsible and cautious about buying on credit to avoid debt getting out of control. Now, this takes me back to a conversation I had a while back with my financial advisor, and we were speaking about, she is a banker at one of the biggest banks in South Africa, and we were speaking about the debt levels, how they are rising, and what is it that people are actually using this debt, what is it that they are actually using to service this debt. And one thing that we actually realized is most people take out unsecured debt to service, for an example, personal loans, credit cards, unsecured debt. But when you look at the products that people are purchasing, sometimes it's products that they don't actually need, or it is products that you find themselves that the debt or the amount of borrowing that they've actually went out to has spent out of control. So it is important that we take informed decisions to understand that when we purchase something on credit, you must look at not just the principal amount, which is the loan amount that you are taking, but you should also consider the interest rates on that loan amount to say, how much interest am I going to actually pay back for me to receive this good or this service? Is it actually worth it? Or at the end of the day, are you going to pay back more to the financial institution than what this type of product is worth? We've had people having clothing accounts. They'll take a period of 6 months just to pay a certain clothing account, and when you look at the clothes at the end of 6 months, they've lost so much value, they no longer in fashion. So it's certain things that you need to save for, purchase them cash instead of actually going and tapping into credit. That is the type of mindset that we need to have towards money. That is the type of mindset we need to think of generational wealth. We need to think of value. How is this actually going to add value to my life. It should make financial sense. Which does, ladies and gentlemen, take me to point number 9, which is quite important. The fact that we need to be transparent with our families, we need to play open cards about our debts, our borrowing that you need to service at the end of the month, so you can also manage their expectations and help them adjust. This is something that we've seen, is that because we sometimes lack communication channels with our families, that we do not bring them into the picture to say this is what is happening in your financial life. For them, everything is fine, and they expect you to purchase certain things for them, which in the Black community we do call it Black tax. It's a topic for another day. Of course, we will talk about Black tax. How do we manage Black tax, and how do we also help our families? With so many of us, we need to go back home and help our families. That is basically how we grow as people. But also at the same time, it is important that we manage expectations of our family so that we do not end up over indebted because we are trying to assist at home, or we're trying to impress our families, whereas at the end of the day, we cannot afford it at all. So it's important that we also bring our families into perspective to say this is the financial situation that we find ourselves in. Now, the last point, which is point number 10 under the financial education tips, is that we should not be tempted to disinvest because of this pandemic. Markets are generally versatile during uncertain times, but they will self-correct over time. Now, this is also a question that I've received from people who have had investments, for an example, investments in the stock market, investments with financial institutions. Now that we're seeing most countries, what the government is trying to do is that they're decreasing your interest rates. So those interest rates are going to affect your investment. So most people, the question is, should I sell this investment? Should I sell, or should I cash in? Should I run away with the money? Because I'm seeing that I'm actually getting a less return on this amount of money. What is important for you to understand is that investment is long term. If we approach investments as long term, we'll better understand that things happen in markets. You know, financial markets crash. When we look at what happened in 2008 with the Great Financial Depression, financial markets did crash. But what is important for you to gain perspective on is that it will recover with time. You need to be patient also at the same time. Keep your investment as it is, because when you withdraw your investment with the current interest rate sitting at what it is currently sitting, you're actually going to make a loss on it. Rather sit back, be patient on it, and watch the markets. They will self-correct themselves over time. It will happen. It might not happen this year. It might happen next year. But do not find yourself cashing in an investment. And most of the time, one thing that people don't realize is that when markets are as low as they currently are and you cash in that investment, you're actually going to get out a return which is less than what you've invested. So now you are making a loss on this investment. Rather keep it as it is and understand that investments are long term. It's something that you should work towards long term. Yet another important aspect that we need to look at is the difference between investing and saving. Yes, there is indeed an very big difference between investing and saving, and that is where a whole lot of people actually get confused. They think investing and saving is actually the same thing, which is not. Investing is not saving at all. Now, someone said to me, but why should I actually invest? What if I die before actually enjoying my money? And my question was, what if you actually live? Will you actually have enough money to be able to secure your financial future? Which is why one of the reasons why we need to save is to avoid those financial uncertainties. Now, there is a big difference between saving and investing. When you save because you want to avoid those financial uncertainties. You save because you want to have something stashed back in case that you have those financial emergencies. Hence, we always encourage people to have those emergency savings account. But investing is something totally different, and it is important for us to understand so that when you do look at investing or saving money, you look at it from a different perspective so that it better works for you. Savings, and initially it has to compete against inflation. Now the price of petrol 5 years ago and what it is today is no longer the same. The price of petrol has increased along with goods and services. That's basically how money works, is that from a savings perspective, when you save money away, one of the reasons why people get so confused is that when they save money and they look at their savings after a few months or a year, they feel as if the savings has not accumulated at all, and they feel as if there's no need in actually saving what I saved. I am not getting enough interest on it, without being in mind that there's a difference with what they did on savings and investment. So it's important for people to firstly understand that inflation also plays a versatile part. Inflation also, it will speak to your savings. Now with most people, they save money and inflation actually goes up. So the value of this money is now going down. And when they look at their savings, that's where they actually seeing that the value has actually eroded. When you save, you need to have the ultimate goal of putting it away to assist you in the future. But that money must preserve its value. It must beat the inflation rate. That basically is how the both these products actually work. Savings product must match or beat the inflation rate of the future. When we speak in finance, we speak about the future value of money. The value of $100 today and in 5 years' time is totally different. So we need to, when we look at our finances, we need to see the future value of this money to say, this money is worth this much today. If I put it in a certain account, that is also important when it comes to investing, is that the different investments account that you are going to look at, the interest rate will play quite a big part for you to understand. The interest rates, you need to speak to your financial institution that you are investing in to better understand what is the value of this amount of money that you are putting in today. In 5 years' time, what will it be actually worth? Now, when we encourage people to actually save and invest, that is where people will take on less debt because they have something actually put away. In a case where we have an emergency, where we've seen with the pandemic, so many of us, our finances were compromised and it just came unexpectedly. But if we had investments or savings in place, that would better assist us to actually deal with this financial shock. It was indeed a financial shock for most of us. What's important for us to also gain perspective is that savings should be used to reach our short-term goals. That is the ultimate goal of saving. It should be used when you want to put in, for an example, a deposit on your car. You'd rather use savings. You want to have that emergency account in case you experience those financial shocks. But it's also important for you to know how your money will look like after a certain period of time. That is basically savings. Now, when we speak of investing, on the other hand, it is actually putting your money away for the future, looking into this future and ensuring capital growth. What is important when it comes to investment, ensure that there is capital growth, ensure that your money is growing, ensure that, because one thing you need to also consider when it comes to investing is compound interest. Now, compound interest is basically interest on interest. That is how your investment will basically grow. Basically, with investments, you would rather use investments for your rather long-term goals. For an example, your education, retirement, if you want to retire comfortably, you're going to save a certain amount of money for a longer period of time so that you know that when you reach a certain age, you're going to retire comfortably. If you want to create generational wealth, that is where you're actually going to tie your money into assets, and you're going to look at assets appreciation. That is very important for people to understand. Now, that is the difference between savings and investing. Now, let's adapt a culture where we are not over reliant on debt, irregardless of the situation that we currently find ourselves into. We must always so remember that our God is still faithful. Even today, even till the very end, our God is still faithful. Let us carry on praying, even for our financial situations. Let us understand what is debt, what is savings, and what is investing. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am so blessed by your presence. And let's do it again next week. There is so much that we want to share with everyone all around the world when it comes to finance. Do send us your questions on the comment box that you will see at the bottom of your screen. Do send us your comments, do send us your insights, or any questions that you might have finance related that you'd like for us to assist you with. And have yourself a blessed week ahead. Until we meet again next week, all the best. Love you so much. Thank you for listening.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good evening, South Africa. Good afternoon, USA and around the world. Welcome to Crossing Over with Nkuleko, a.k.a. the Gospel Man Maphosa. Today, I have a special guest, Duba Mpepeka. This guy, I call him Twister. We grew up together in the dusty streets of Kanana, Ogni. Welcome, man. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
You good?
I'm good. Good. Can't complain, man.
I'm good.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Thank you so much. How have you been, man?
Just to be honest with you, I'm good, can't complain. There's something that always keeps me, which is grace. So every time I think of grace, I just find myself comfortable and good.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, we are crossing over.
Okay.
Yeah, this show is not only for South Africa.
Okay.
So I want the guys from around the world and the USA to know who Duba is. Can you please tell us who Duba is?
Duba is a born-again Christian, blood-washed, and I'm a gospel artist and also a producer. That's basically who I'm also a married man. I don't want to leave that one behind. And I'm a family man. I'm so a family man. Yes. That's basically me. You know me. That's basically me.
Yes. Talking about, you know, growing up, there was a point in your life where you were a pastor. You were a pastor at a church. Now I don't hear you mentioning that part. Are you still a pastor? Or what's happening? Please bring me up to speed with that.
I like it. I'm still a pastor. I'm still a pastor. There are things that you can find yourself out of. You can talk yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Or whatsoever. I'm still a pastor and I'll forever be a pastor.
Yes.
And it feels so good to be a pastor.
Awesome.
Yes.
Now, your journey in the gospel music industry. I want to know, when did you discover that you are a gospel artist? How did you start getting into? I remember there were times where you once performed with Gege, Pofolo, and other artists. You know, I know you have also worked with big producers like Bongani Mahlaole, the one who produced for Vusi Nuva, and you know other big names.
True. Yeah.
But I just want us to unfold your journey in the gospel industry. How did you get in? When did you discover that you have this talent or gift of singing?
I grew up luckily enough, I grew up in a family that is actually into the church. It is the family I grew up in. It's so into the church, because you would find even in our own house where we used to grow up at, the church, we used to attend church in the same house. And you would find me attending this church, and at a certain time I would attend the other church. Now this one started at 9 until 11, and I would leave from this one and go to another one that would start at 11 till 1. So as I grew up, I used to sing in church a lot, actually the most, because they trusted me with hymns. And every now and then they would say, please sing a certain hymn, and I would go on and sing the song. So at the age of nine, that's when I think I discovered the love of gospel music. And during the time, I think when I started high school, I shifted from gospel to R&B. And then I found myself being dragged back by whatever that I don't know, back to gospel. And I till this far, gospel has sustained me. I'm forever into gospel.
Wonderful.
Yes, man of God.
You've also mentioned that you are also a producer. Any artist that you have produced by now, and which genre have you produced so far? Is it gospel, the same thing that you're doing, or?
Music is versatile, and music is too much, music is too big. And I found myself having a lot of skill of writing. So I produced another artist. However, it's soul music. We did soul music for the artist. The name is Dietri. So far, so good. God has been good to us with this project.
Okay.
Yes.
How, you know what I want to know, ne? How, yes. You know, in the gospel, in the Christian community, you know how they would ridicule you and maybe label you as a traitor to the gospel once you go and produce other genres of music. Have you ever maybe come across such difficulty, as a pastor, as someone who has led the flock of Christ, have you ever come across such a negative comments or rejection? Because now you are a gospel singer, you are a pastor, and then at the same time you are producing soul music. You know, soul music artists have to go to clubs, and
yes.
You know, how do you juggle that? How do you also feel about that?
To be honest with you, it has been difficult. Even taking a stand or having to find yourself starting it, when thinking of Christians and people and their mentality about a gospel singer, it has been difficult. However, I'm no longer a child, and I understand that I'm not a slave of sin, and I'm not a slave of anything. And one thing that sustains me, or that has actually given me strength enough to can go on with that, it's knowing that God is love.
Yes.
That on its own gave me strength to proceed with the project. Because from track one to the last track, you find us speaking of one language, love.
Yes.
Love is a beautiful thing, and we need to find ourselves encouraging it as much as we can. Because what is it that you're talking about if we can't be talking about something that God is? God is love. Let's talk more about God, which is love.
Yes.
Yes,
I hear you, man. You know, growing up together with you, I know you don't have parents. I know you,
wow.
You only, you lived with your grandma.
Yes.
Who passed away. I want to know, how did that affect you as a person, and how did it affect you also? Your music. You know when you do things, you need that support system in your life. You know, I can imagine growing up without parents, and then here you lose one person who was your pillar of strength.
Mm.
How did that affect you?
Let me take you straight to it. It has been difficult because with me it's even worse. I can say with me it's even worse because I don't even know my mother. I can't even point at her. Even if she was gonna just appear here, I wouldn't say this is my mother because she passed on when I was, as far as I was told, they're saying I was 1 year, 2 months. So you can imagine, I don't know this person. And for me, understanding that God has a purpose has always kept me going. I might not know them, but God knows me better and knows my destiny. And no, with lots of things happening around, there came a stage whereby I had to find a mother because there's a shortage of that. We can't lie about it. We need that thing whereby you find yourself having a parent or so ever. But when I found my wife, found peace.
Wow. No, that's awesome.
When I found my wife, found peace.
Yeah. Welcome back. You're still chilling with me, aka the Gospel Man, on Crossing Over with Nkululeko Maphosa. God is good, you know, despite of what is happening in our lives. I hear you talking about hymns, and I know at some point in your life there was a time where you spent a lot of time with Keke Pofolo. You did songs with him. You featured him in your album. Which song stands out for you? The number one song that you said, this one, the song that I wrote is the one that you think it breakthrough, it launched you into the music industry as a gospel artist.
Oh God. I think there are quite number of songs. Yeah, no, the song is called Kibala Bamudimu, and the song has been good to me personally, because it also speaks to me. Before it speaks to people, it speaks to me.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. In short, what is the general, I mean, the genes of the message of the song?
It's the song simply says, these ones are set apart.
Yes.
It speaks of the ones that are actually set apart. Those are were chosen basically by Christ.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I know they love you so much in Lesotho.
Yes.
I think we have traveled a lot of neighboring countries. What was the experience for you, and which, do they love you when you do worship songs, or do they love you when you do hymns, you know, indigenous hymns, and how's the experience been for you?
The experience has been good. Has been good. However, people love me most when I dance.
Yeah.
I've got that thing that I don't even understand.
Talking about dancing. You know, I was just talking to Ayanda, talking about this energy. I know you're also one of the artists who project and possess such energy on stage. You know, there's that dance that you do with Keke when you hold chairs, mm-hmm. and you look you look the other direction, and then you do that dance. Where do you get that energy, man?
I don't even know where the energy comes from. I don't wanna lie. There are two things that always makes it special to me, even when I minister. Remember, people know me as I'm actually a psalmist. I regard myself as a psalmist, and not just a psalmist, but an apostolic psalmist. Why apostolic psalmist? Because of my background. I'm from a church that believes so much in, there's what we call in our language, it's called skupu, and that same instrument, it's the same instrument I'm using even today. I still play that instrument even today, and I think it's the same thing that actually speaks volume when I'm on stage. It speaks volume because I believe that it's actually a different sound from what people actually have. And it's actually pushing me from the rest of the team that we have of musicians.
Wonderful.
Yes,
awesome.
Sir.
Awesome. I'm aware that you just released a single.
Yes.
A single. I just want to know, how is it doing currently in radio platforms, you know, all media platforms?
The project is doing good. The project is doing good, and we thank God because it's by grace. It's doing wonderfully good, and we thank God for that.
No, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. Welcome back. I'm still chilling with Duba, the psalmist. You heard it from himself. Duba, how many albums have you released thus far?
So far I've released 5 albums, and yeah, I released 5 albums.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, the latest album is the 5th one.
Okay.
Yeah, the latest album.
So I want to know where to from here. Okay, I know. Now we'll take your music around the world and to the USA. What do you plan? What's in the pipeline? Something that is wonderful that you would like us to know about?
What I've always dreamt of. It's one thing. Finding myself helping others, it's the biggest thing that I want to find myself doing forever.
Yes.
If that I would do, if I could do that forever, I would be happy.
Okay.
Yes. That is the major, major point of my life. Okay. Yes, man of God.
In all these five albums that you have done, which one can you say, you see this one? This one stands out of all of them.
To be honest with you, I'll go straight to that one. It's the first album. The first album was called God's Time. Ooh, that album is something else. I still maintain that album is something else. I still maintain.
Okay, Toba. Duva, my friend, tell us about your new album. Who did you work with? What's the name of the album? All that.
My latest offering, man, is it's as good according to my own understanding, or my according to the way I'm hearing the project, né? It's as good as the first one. So I don't know whether it's because it's the fifth one, number five, talking of grace. I don't know. But basically the fifth one, the latest project I've worked with, Sibusiso, and Sibusiso Hlophe, is this boy is one of the growing greatest producers to find in the near future. This boy is something else, and it has got 10 tracks on it. Only 10 tracks. I've worked with few. I've featured two people. One is Kwezi, actually three. One Kwezi from Kroonstad, and I've also featured Kelly Bone, also from Kroonstad. I also featured Geli from my hometown, from our own hometown, which is Kanana. And yes, the project is good. I'm in love with this project.
And the name of the album?
The name of the album is called New Hymn Book.
New Hymn Book.
Yes. Wow. I've written all new songs, and actually these are the songs that I wish to see. I wish to see them sang in churches, because they are simple songs, new songs, and the greatest song you find in the same album is the song that I just told you about. The singer, it's called Uyan Fokome. It's with and God. Oh,
sababu la imbaka kimo Jesu antokomela
Listeners at home, you've heard it from himself, the Summit Duba, the Yim guy. Catch me next Thursday, same time, same place. Peace.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.